Live and local.
This is Sactown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. Joined by my guy, did some shows together back in the day, Larry Krueger. Larry, I was shouting you out earlier. Probably, I don't want to do too much here. Probably the biggest, if not top three, at worst, Niners YouTube channels going right now. Just want to congratulate you and the work you've done, man. You are really doing it right now.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Good to see you're up there at Sactown Sports. I went to Sac State. I've done many a show on 1140 there. I did a weekend show with the great Chris Townsend back in 2006, the Krug and Towney show up there. And a lot of my fraternity brothers are still hanging out in Sac, and I love Sacramento, man. So I was thrilled when I saw the news that you're joining Whitey up there and doing your thing, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Stingers up, right? Stingers up. That's how it goes. There you go. Larry, so, you know, the vibes are good right now. The question is, are the vibes going to continue to be good specifically for the Niners this weekend when they head to Jacksonville? I know the Niners, that fan base travels amazing. I saw the ticket percentages. It's always good for the red and gold. But do you think the fans down in Jacksonville will be celebrating a victory? How confident are you in the Niners?
Well, wow. I think it's going to be a tough game. Yeah. I really do. I think it's going to be a very, very tough game. Lawrence has got it going right now. Now, we know he's got a ton of speed on his offense and he's got a big arm, but their O-line's no good. So Peterson's throwing it to Evan Engram repeatedly, and the Niners have to figure out a way to take away all those short pitch and catch throws from Trevor Lawrence to Evan Engram, who was a bust with the New York Giants. But yeah, Now in Jacksonville, I mean, he caught 10 balls the last game against the Steelers, and the guy's a real force, and he's their continuity piece, Alan. He's the guy that they try to move the chains with. So the Niners have to stop the run, and they got to stop Evan Engram.
Larry, appreciate you coming on. I was looking at the Eagles' schedule the other day. They obviously have a bye this week. They played the Cowboys last week, but the Eagles' upcoming schedule is just brutal. They play the Chiefs, then the Bills, then they have that Niners game, and then play the Cowboys again, followed by the Seahawks as well. I mean, how are you feeling about the Niners' chances right now of still finishing off the year with the best record in the NFC? Of course, you know, the Lions are still lingering as well.
You know, it's like almost like I don't even want to think about that because the 49ers just have to get a win, right? They haven't won in a while. And they haven't even led in any of these games for the most part. Right. So, but yeah, I mean, I think it's viable. I think Detroit is still up there for that top seed as well. I know that sounds crazy, but They've got kind of an easier schedule. But man, I mean, I'll tell you the game that's really looming for the Niners as a big game beyond Philly is Christmas night against Lamar and the Ravens. Mm-hmm. That's the number one rushing attack in the game right now, and the Niners aren't stopping the run. So that I almost have that one down as a loss right now. So, I mean, it's 49ers just have to regroup. They got to get this win against Jacksonville. You know, you could argue that the wrong team's favored. I mean, the Niners haven't won in a month, basically. Right. Jacksonville hasn't lost in 5 weeks. They get the longest streak going, and they haven't trailed in any of those games. So I'm a little, you know, Vegas always knows, so that makes me feel good. But I think this is going to be tough. I think it's going to be a challenge for Trent Williams, who's going to be a game-time decision now at left tackle. We found out that today at practice. And Colton McKivitz going up against Trayvon Walker against McKivitz and Josh Allen against Trent, or if not Trent, Jalen Moore. I mean, that's going to be an absolute, battle royale. Can the Niners block this Jaguar line?
Talking to Larry Krueger here, host of The Krug Show on YouTube, the biggest Niners YouTube channel. Larry, again, thank you for joining us. And Larry, you know how this goes. You've been in the game for so long. You knew we weren't going to let you get out of here or get too far without talking about Brock Purdy. How do you assess Brock Purdy, and have people been overblowing his mistakes? What would you say you'd like to see from Brock Purdy moving forward?
He's got to be, Alan, he's got to be more patient. Mm. You know, I mean, the 49ers, I think they need to start playing in this game against Jacksonville complementary football. Right. And it really plays into Kyle and Brock need the same message, which Brock needs to be patient. Kyle needs to be patient. They need to go on long extended drives, start to play complementary football, and start to protect their defense a little bit. I talked to Kasarik in July. I said, Chris, you going to play Bosa in your number one D-line a bunch this year? You're loaded up front. You don't have quite the same depth. He's like, no, I'm going to play these guys in a rotation. And he's like, and he made the point. He's like, I can't play Bosa 65 to 70 snaps a week and have him be fresh in January.
Right.
Well, he played 68 snaps against Cincinnati. He's played 60-plus snaps the last three games. So that's why Chase Young's here. That's why Randy Gregory's here. They gotta play complementary football and try to dominate the time of possession against Jacksonville. Try to save and preserve Bosa as much as possible.
Larry, it feels like the biggest talking point this week has been Steve Wilks moving down to the sideline from the booth. Do you feel like it's as big of a deal as what everyone's making it? I mean, it seems like Steve Wilks is trying to douse any smoke that this is a big deal or not, but it kind of feels like this is a big deal. How do you feel?
I think it's a total non-story. I mean, is Steve Wilks going to make the coverage tighter? Is Steve Wilks where he sits going to make D linemen come off blocks? Is Steve Wilks going to, you know, now that he's on the sideline, now the Niner linebackers are not going to miss tackles? I mean, it's a player's game. You know, the players have to play. They look a little gassed. They looked a little tired. They looked a little run down. Greenlaw told me yesterday that he had a shot in the ankle and the shoulder before the Cincy game, and then it just didn't take effect. He basically shouldn't have even been out there. He feels more refreshed coming out of the bye week. They just, you know, their D-line's got to come off blocks and make tackles. Mm-hmm. Their linebackers, you know, have to wrap up. And they got to get something in the run game out of Fonga and Gibson. Those guys have just been totally zero against the run. And, you know, a couple of years ago they had Tart and Ward, and they didn't get any interceptions. But those guys were like extra linebackers.
Right.
This year, Gibson and Gibson's biggest tackle was that penalty,
right,
against him. And Fonga, who, you know, I'm how many times are we going to see a Fonga make the T? But I mean, yeah. I got to see some tackles. T starts, you know, tackles.
Right.
Tackles.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Got to see it, Larry. And, you know, Larry, we did some shows together, and, you know, both of us are baseball guys. So let's switch over here and talk a little bit of Giants. Bob Melvin, honestly, Larry, when I saw it, I don't know how moved I was, but everybody knows that they were going to move on from Gabe Kapler, who me and you have had some very, very frisky conversations about Gabe Kapler. We'll save that for the next time you come on. How did you feel when they announced Bob Melvin as a new manager for the Giants?
Well, I mean, he's solid. He's solid. I mean, I was kind of hoping they would go with like either Veritek or Vogt as the young catcher, because we've seen you know, catchers have a great run. Of course, Melvin's a former catcher too.
Right.
The one thing I like about Melvin is that he's got enough like history in the game to be able to say to Farhan, okay, I saw your analytics, I digested it, and I decided to go in this direction for this reason.
Yeah.
Where I kind of felt like Gabe was just going to literally just, I took Farhan's analytics and I implemented them in the game, and I didn't have that experience to push back. I think Bob has the experience to push back. The other thing I really like about Melvin is if you study him, Alan, and look around like where he's been, everywhere he's been, he gets off to a good first year. I mean, he had a good first year in Oakland. He had a good first year in Arizona. He had a good first year in San Diego. So I think that the Giants need a turnaround, man. I mean, they were 17th in attendance last year. They've lost a ton of their audience. Farhan needs a big offseason. They need to go sign some people or trade for some people that actually the fans have heard of. and they're going to have to get off to a hot start and show that they're a new and improved Giant team. Otherwise, guess what? People are just going to, they're going to watch it on TV. They're going to go to Warrior games. They're going to wait for the Niners season, and they're not going to go. Nobody's running to get to downtown San Francisco for no reason. You have to motivate them to park their car, risk getting broken into, stepping over homeless and needles and everything else to get to these games. So you know what? You better have a good product. Yeah. And so the Giants better wake up and put together a compelling team, or people are just going to be like, eh, I'll catch it on the tube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you talk about bringing people in for the Giants. I saw a rumor yesterday that Pete Alonso, apparently, the Giants are in on, and Juan Soto, and, of course, the Shohei courting, and, you know, even Mike Trout I've seen, you know, the Giants throw their, have their name thrown in there. What do you think if you're Farhan, or if you're building out this team? Is it just is it a big name that's the first thing that needs to be checked off, or what do you feel like is the next move for this Giants team in terms of player acquisition?
You know, it's a great question, and it's like I think Alonso and Soto would be my main targets. Mm-hmm. Why? Because from what I'm reading, guys, Bellinger is going to want a 12-year deal. He's 28, so you're going to. Bellinger had a good year this year. He hit over 300 with the Cubs, but he had two nightmarish years the years before, mm-hmm. and supposedly he's got shoulder issues, and now you're going to give him a 12-year contract through his 40th birthday?
No.
I mean, that seems like a major risk. And then Shohei, you're going to have to pay $600 million to, not knowing if he's even going to pitch. Mm-hmm. So now you're paying $600 million for a DH. I mean, he would put butts in the seats. I'll say this. Just from watching the Japanese baseball film on Yamamoto, to me, he looks like Lincecum.
Mm.
I mean, he's a small guy with big stuff.
Right.
And I think there's a very good chance that Yamamoto is going to be like the talk of the game.
Mm.
But, you know, I was joking with some people the other day. The Giants talk big names, and then here's Michael Conforto, you know? So I was joking the other day on Twitter. It's like, okay, we want Shohei Ohtani. We want Juan Soto. We want Pete Alonso. Let's put it into the giant Farhan computer.
Right.
What does it spit out? Trent Grisham.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, so if you ask me to make a prediction, and I already did this on Twitter, so I'm just kind of repeating my tweet, but I think Trent Grisham is going to be the guy they go after because Farhan's talking defense in the outfield. Mm-hmm. Harrison Bader, they're saying, is going to get like 2 years, $20 million. I think that'll be too rich for their blood. Yeah. I think Kiermaier's defense has gone down. So there aren't a lot of options, and they're going to look at San Diego and go, oh, Bob, you manage Grisham, and he won two gold gloves there. And it just – he hit like 198 this year. But I could see the Giants trading Elliot Ramos and Keaton Wynn or, you know, some – two young players that have potential to the Padres for Trent Grisham and all the yes men that are surround this giant team as far as their media will just be like, hey, that was, oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm just fired up about Trent Grisham.
Oh,
so,
man.
I wait a second. Boop, 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 boop. Trent Grisham. To the Giants, guys. That's what I see.
Well, you know, well, and I saw Larry. I even saw maybe a Tommy Pham who's kind of had a.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, well, no, because he played well, right? I know the whole Jock Peterson thing, but.
Keep him out of your fantasy league. Yeah, that's all you got to do.
Yeah,
keep him out of your fantasy league.
Just stay away from that. Larry, great stuff as always. I know you've been on 1140 before, but now you are a friend of Sals and Watkins,
yes,
and we will definitely have you on again, Larry. Please enjoy the game. Hopefully you're enjoying a Niners W. And Larry, I know you're in the Bay, but look, just for me, just for your guy, can I get a light the beam? Can I get that from you before you go?
Oh, I love the beam. Are you
there
kidding
you
me?
Go.
Whoever, you know, my brother's a judge up in Sac. He lives in Natomas. All my buddies from Sac State, for the most part, are still up there. I'm hearing great things about your guys' show, so keep kicking butt and light the beam, baby.
There
light
you
that
go.
Freaking beam.
Thank you, Larry Krueger. Please follow Larry. Subscribe to his YouTube. Great stuff. Probably the biggest Niners YouTube going right now, YouTube channel, The Krug Show. Thank you, Larry. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, fellas. Have a good one.
You too.
All right. You got to get to a break. When we get back, more Niners talking. We're getting back. 1:45. Pick your dog for the Kings game. Sals and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sactown Sports and subscribe.
We are back. 45 more minutes. Sals and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Thank you again to Larry Krueger of The Krug Show on YouTube. That was great stuff. Larry will definitely be on again. Just love his Giants takes because Larry and I mean, we were joking a couple yesterday about the bowl of nachos, the helmet bowl of nachos, and the Ghirardelli and the ice cream. Oh, yeah. And it's a great time. Yeah. I don't know who's playing, but it's a great time. The lobster rolls. You spent about $500, and you don't even know who's playing. So hopefully the Giants prove us all wrong, and they go out and they get a big fish. And speaking of fish, like I was talking with Nate, getting into fishing a little bit here now that I'm on the Sacramento River.
Okay.
Are you going to come with me?
If it's not if it's early. I can't do, like, that's the one thing, man, about fishing I can't get with is the 5 a.m. wake up. It's just
no,
like,
I love that.
I understand
I
the fish be
that.
Biting earlier in the day, but
no,
that's, just,
I
that's
live for
way
that.
Too early.
I live for that. Good stuff.
Well, you also have to pay for a fishing license, and if you only buy a day license, it's expensive. Yeah. So
we'll figure out the logistics later, Nate. Yeah.
Oh,
okay, are you coming or not?
Oh, I didn't know I was invited. I'll go. Sure.
Great.
I'll go.
I'll go.
I guess,
yes.
I suppose.
So I'd love to go.
Hopefully the Giants get their big fish, whether it's Shohei, Yamamoto, somebody, please.
Or Trout.
Help
fish,
us. Huh? Or Trout. Nicely done. Nicely done right there. As we continue to talk Niners and Kings and all of those things. So Ryan G. Hensley, who is here on Twitter, kind of known as, I've been on Ryan's show, love Ryan, kind of known as a Trey Lance guy.
Okay.
So he's just giving numbers, right? And what we do on this show, we give, I hate to say it like this because it's not a political show, we give both sides,
yes,
right? And we talk about the pro Brock Purdy stats and the, I don't want to say anti, just stats that don't make Brock look as good. So I wanted to read some stats off to you, Chris, and the rest of the audience. This is from Ryan's Twitter. The 49ers have the most wide open receivers in the NFL by a large margin. And then consider that Brock is sixth in bad throw percentage and 20th. He's fourth in bad throw percentage and 20th on target throw percentage. Does that concern you at all about who he is as a QB? Just so people know, Jimmy was 12th in passing attempts in 2019, 12th in yards, and 6th in completion percentage. Matt Ryan was 17th in 2016, but 2nd in yards and 3rd in completion percentage. Right now, Brock is 27th in passing attempts, 11th in yards, and 8th in completion percentage. Does any of that worry you?
I don't think so, because not every team is treated the same, and none of those teams had a guy like Christian McCaffrey out there. And like I think especially when you look more so, like, the biggest difference there is in the pass attempts number. Like, you know, Brock is 11th in yards, Jimmy was 12th in yards, and, you know, Matt Ryan had an MVP season in 2016, so that's almost not fair to kind of throw that in there. The biggest discrepancy is in just the attempts, and I would say the attempts is a direct link to A, passing has never been more prolific than it is right now.
Right.
And B, I mean, yeah, there's no Christian McCaffrey on either of those two rosters. Like, both of those teams were definitely more, a lot more passing oriented than run. Of course, the run game was still involved, but they didn't have somebody who they treat like Derrick Henry, essentially.
Right. But, well,
giving
yes,
McCaffrey
because the Niners.
20 to 30 touches.
Yeah, but the Niners have always been seen as a run first.
For sure.
Team.
Absolutely.
But I guess to your point, Jimmy in 2019, was that Mostert? Right? They had Mostert. They had a couple different guys. They did not have somebody like Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. So he should go down.
Yes.
Right? But going down to, and Brock is still a second year guy. Mm-hmm. So, but to go down to 27th, I think is okay. Maybe that's a little low. We're not sure. We're not sure what that means, right? And this also comes from Grant Cohn, who Grant Cohn and Ryan do a lot of work together. The past 9 Super Bowl champions all passed at least 35 times per game.
That's crazy.
Which is a lot. It seems
That's
like a lot.
That seems like a lot.
So the Chiefs in 2022 passed 38 times a game.
Sure.
2021 Rams, 35.7 times a game. You go all the way down and you go to 2023, the Niners are passing the football 28 times a game.
Can I to focus on the Grant Cohn one for a minute, the 35 passes per game. That stat is also a little bit of an unfair one, because I mean, I think it was earlier this week, we were trying to figure out, what are you trying to say with this?
Right.
I think that's kind of not a fair one, because you know, Patrick Mahomes is the Chiefs. You have Matt Stafford, who throws a ton even when he was in Detroit. You have Tom Brady as one of, like, three of those quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. You have Patrick Mahomes again. You have Tom Brady again. Then you have Nick Foles, who that was a specific situation, right. But Foles even was a guy who let it fly. Then you have Brady. Then you have, I assume, an old Peyton Manning in 2015. And then Tom Brady again. I mean, those guys are all just...
It's a good point.
You know, they're gunslingers. Yeah. It's just not this. You know,
well, you can even do it.
I don't know if there's a direct corollary between their pass attempts and them winning games.
Right. If you throw Stafford in that category, right, you have one, two, because I don't, Stafford, Hall of Famer, conversation for a different day.
Sure.
Numbers kind of say yes, right?
Sure.
So you have one, two, out of the one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, the nine that he added, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight of them
all
are Hall of Famers.
For Nick Foles.
Yes, all except for Nick Foles.
Yeah, who could be, his nickname could be the Great Exception.
Yes.
Something.
Well, he's got a different nickname. We can't say it on FCC Airways. Sorry. But he does have a different nickname,
for
by the
sure.
way. You can look that up
no,
at a different time. But they're all Hall of Famers, so they're going to throw the football.
Right.
Isn't this just like a time of possession stat, too? Like a glorified, like they're taking more snaps, therefore they're throwing the ball more?
It could. I mean,
could that be what this is?
It could be.
Yeah, maybe but time of possession is normally running, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but maybe it doesn't translate if you're throwing an incompletion or two here or there. You know what I mean? If you're
right,
running
it stops
the ball,
the clock.
Most likely the clock is going to be running because you're
sure.
probably running. I mean, inside the lines, most likely.
Yeah.
So I think there's some X factors to that as a biased Niners fan.
Yeah, I just wonder if, again, to the
it's
point of
close,
what is
though,
he
Nate.
Trying to say, is yeah. he trying to say that you have to pass the ball, like you have to be a pass-first team if you want
to
win a Super Bowl?
You need
is
to
that
be
what
able,
this
you need
stat
to trust it
to
at
say?
Some point.
Yeah.
I do think,
and
look,
I don't think we said this, the Niners are at 28.1
yeah, the Niners are at 28.1.
So they're like almost 10 pass
that's
attempts
what I'm saying.
Under where.
That's what is a bit alarming to me. The next lowest one was... Nick Foles,
yeah,
at 35.3. So take it with what you want.
Right.
But I think what's funny is watching it as Niner fans. Doesn't it feel like the Niners have been throwing it all over the field?
Yes.
Doesn't it feel like that?
You got me with that this morning. Kinda. We were having a pre-show talk, and I'm like, man, the Niners priority one for them. Not priority one, but the way they play the game, they're a pass first team. Lately.
Right.
And then you drop this stat on me. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. But I think it's because it's recency bias. Again, we're talking about this on Wasabi Wednesday. what have you done for me recently? The Niners, in their wins, they've ran the ball a lot because they've been up by so much, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And
sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, that's just my point, really. And then recently, they've been throwing more because they've been down. They've been behind.
I just want to say by this logic, I just looked it up. There's only 9 quarterbacks right now who are throwing over 35 attempts per game.
Should we guess a couple?
Sure.
Mahomes?
Yes.
Lamar?
No.
No.
Josh Allen?
Yes.
Yes.
Joe Burrow?
Yes.
Does Stafford count?
Stafford is not included on this list.
Herbert
is on there.
Was Garoppolo on that list?
Garoppolo was not on this list.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence?
Trevor Lawrence is not on this list.
Not your guy Dobbs.
Not my guy Dobbs.
No,
a different
guy
Dobbs.
CJ Stroud.
CJ Stroud is at 34.9.
Okay, so the Texans are going to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, got to be Geno.
Just barely. No, I'll go down the list.
Yeah.
Number 10 is CJ Stroud at 34.9, just missing out. So the rest of these guys are all over the 35 attempt mark that apparently you have to have to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
Number 9, Derek Carr, 35.1.
Okay.
Justin Herbert, 35.3. Josh Allen, 36. Bryce Young, surprisingly, 36.3.
No, they got to throw it when they're behind.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jared Goff is at 36.6. So for you Lions fans out there who maybe want to convince yourself, that's a good number for you. Patrick Mahomes, 37.1. Joe Burrow's at 38.5. Kirk Cousins was at 38.9. This is shocking. Shocking. Number one.
Okay.
Anybody want to take any guesses? We've listed Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow,
Josh Allen,
Justin Herbert, not Zach Wilson.
I'm trying to think of someone who'd be shocking. Is it Dak?
Who's probably the most random guy who's been started? He's started every single game this year. I shouldn't say random, but there's a couple guys.
I'm
single game.
Every single
Russell
game.
Russell Wilson?
Not Russell Wilson. Sam Howell at 39.2 okay. pass attempts.
And don't
per
they
game.
Have like 15 running backs?
Yes. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, back to Kings talk. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. 30 more minutes with you as we prepare for Kings Thunder in game. In season game.
In season tournament game. There you go.
There you go. It is a little bit wordy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that the NBA did all of this marketing, got, you know, Richard Jefferson to come and show us with, you know, four buttons down and explain the tournament to us. They spent so much money on marketing and didn't even bother to try and name it like the even as simple as like the NBA Cup is a lot better
than
in season tournament.
In the first in-season tournament, so IST.
And you have the play-in tournament as well,
right,
which
the
is
IST.
IST.
That sounds like a
the IST.
No, that sounds like something I don't want to catch. The IST sounds like a test in high school that I wouldn't have done very well on to get into college.
Yeah. SAT, yeah. ACT, and the ICT, IST.
How did you do in the IST? Man. Are sneezes,
didn't
are
make
they
it
contagious
out
or not?
Round.
I did bad on the court part.
Of the IST.
Yeah.
You'll be okay.
Thanks.
You'll be okay.
As
we get ready,
Jersey.
As we get ready for the IST, the in-season tournament game between the Sacramento Kings and the Oklahoma City Thunder. A little bit of news to read to you, as Nate just did as well. We have some news of our own. Michigan football and the cheating schedule, the sign-stealing issue that's been going on, and there's one that happens. What? When was the Astros? Was that 2017?
Oh man, I can't even think at this point.
Every couple years, there's a new cheating scandal.
Sounds right.
Right. So this sounds like the right time for another one.
Yeah, we were due.
We were definitely due.
Cheaters.
So there's signs.
What was
stealing.
The one before the Astros? Because I mean, Patriots. Yeah. But that was like late
2000s.
Deflategate. Again,
yeah, it doesn't
Patriots.
Have to be signs.
You're right.
Just something.
Yeah. Some sneaky.
It was Deflategate.
Yes.
Then it was like Bounty Gate. And
right.
Then I feel like the Patriots had something before that as well.
There's got. There's always. There's. There's got to be something every 5 years or so. Mm-hmm. So this is the newest thing that's going on, and Jim Harbaugh has been suspended for the remainder of the regular season. We are assuming, if Michigan makes the playoffs, he would not be able to coach. But it doesn't technically say that right now. For those of you who are shouting, go blue, how about don't cheat? And now it is institutional. So Chris made a good point during the break. Even if they were to fire Jim Harbaugh and he heads to Vegas for the Raiders, whoever they would name would also not be able to be on the sideline. So he's allowed to coach for the rest of the week.
Yeah, it's a really weird suspension, which I've never heard before.
Yeah.
It's like their only beef is don't coach on Saturdays. You can coach the team the entirety of the week. You just can't coach the actual game itself, which is really, really strange.
Well, that's the NCAA. Everything is strange about the NCAA.
I just don't get it.
And I know Michigan
it.
Said, well, we weren't the only ones. They tried to flip it and say some other teams. So who knows where this thing actually lands. We do have good news as we talk Niners and Jaguars. Debo ready to go.
Yeah.
And I saw, and I don't know even why this came up, but there were questions. We mentioned Grant Cohn in the last segment about a tweet he had, but Grant Cohn brought up trading Brandon Ayuk and trying to get a first-round pick for him next year because you got to pay him.
Yep.
And a lot of people were saying, trade Debo. Well, you can't trade Debo because of the dead cap, and it's about $20 million that you would have to eat if you traded Debo. So for those of you who said, well, don't trade Ayuk, trade Debo. And look.
Not only that, but like, look how the Niners have looked without Debo these past couple weeks.
Yeah.
Like, I think, you know, Ayuk's been, he's been fine. He's been good. Wouldn't say he's been spectacular, but like he has not been an elevated number one receiver for the Niners since Debo's been out. And I think, you know, you can maybe look at this stretch of games here where the Niners clearly have not found success as if that does happen, if they do move on from Brandon Ayuk, wouldn't surprise me if this is the reason why, is because when Debo was out, you didn't. I wouldn't say, it's tough to say he didn't
it's
step up,
on,
but it's like, it's not all on him, but it's like, we're not getting wide receiver one level production from you. You're not a game changer in the same way that Debo is a game changer.
And going back to the amount of passes to be and the Niners and Brock Purdy being 27th in passing attempts, what we should do is break down how that dropped after Debo went out.
Right.
Because a lot of those check down Charlies yep. that you could throw to Debo when he takes it 20 yards, you didn't have them. That's yeah. no disrespect to Brock Purdy. That's just the truth.
Yeah.
Right? You did not have them. So maybe that's why, which is almost has been an extension of the running game. So you don't have mm-hmm. that. Maybe that's why that number has dropped a little bit. We'd have to break that down, which we can do next week to figure out, okay, is that why this happened? So we'll see what happens with the Niners. They got to get back on track. Let's get back on track to our Kings. And at 1:45 at the break here in a couple of minutes, we will come back with our dog segment. That's D-O-G, dog of the game. But the dog in dog of the game is D-A-W-G. So yes, don't sir. Get it twisted. Nate, here's the rules now, because Nate went a little crazy on Wednesday. The rules, and you know, the rules are we do not play Baja Men unless they win. Baja Men is for victory, whatever day.
It's
after
our version
the
of the beam.
Yes, it's our version of the beam. We can't play Baja Men. That we can't play this out and play Baja Men the day of the game, then play Baja Men if they win.
Right.
So we only play.
There you go.
There you go. You can play that. You can play that because we will be naming our dogs here at 1:45, Whitey and Draper on location at Golden One, so no crosstalk. So we will be doing our dogs of the game at 1:45. This is a big one, Chris, mm-hmm. and that is why I you know, you're my guy. You're yeah. my guy,
oh,
and
no.
I want to be on the moral victory side with you, mm-hmm. but moral victories don't pay rent. Moral victories don't cash checks.
Yeah.
Moral victories don't get a beam.
Is
there a moral
parlays,
victory beam?
Sure.
Should there be a neutral beam for moral victories where it's just yeah. clear? Should we have that?
I don't like that. I don't like what you're trying to do right now. I don't like where you're getting
at. Where does it end, Chris?
I don't like where you're getting at right now. I don't like.
Where does it end? The moral victory beam. That's what we should have.
I just, you know, I'm just saying that, you know, when you're in a situation like the Kings are in now, when you're slumping and things have never looked worse in the Mike Brown era, I'm just saying when actual victory looks like it's mm-hmm. going to be a very large mountain to climb,
yeah.
I just am maybe saying for the mental state of us all, let's not make it actual victory or bust. I'm just saying maybe, just maybe, we can approach tonight looking for tiny victories and hope that those tiny victories lead to a larger victory.
I hear you.
But we should celebrate those tiny victories because of the place that we're at here and now. Now, does that mean on Monday or on Wednesday next week we have to have the same tiny victory conversation? No, but it's just about getting this thing
for tonight
back on track.
Yeah. Get them back on track. Play well, and we understand that you could play better than you played a couple days ago against the G League Blazers and still possibly
yeah.
lose the game, and that's okay. Well, yep. that's okay for Chris. Not really okay for me, but
I can't wait for Draper to come on and say, you know, at the second 2 o'clock hits, he's like, I don't know what that guy Chris Watkins is talking about with these moral victories. I want a real victory.
See, no, but keep that energy on Monday when there's a crosstalk.
Oh my god,
keep that energy.
Are we
Monday.
Ever going to crosstalk again?
We're going to figure
the
it out.
The streets are talking, and they're saying we're never crosstalking.
Why don't we just drive over there right now?
We should.
We just drive over there right now.
Yeah.
Styles and Watkins got to get to a break. When we get back, we want your dogs. We want your dogs. We'll have our dog from Nate. We'll have our dog from Chris. We'll have mine as well. And we see you, Dwayne Baker, on the YouTube chat. Yeah, we're still deciding if it's always going to be Baja Men when they win or just
yeah.
a dog-inspired
yeah, we gotta find
song. We can do whatever we
yeah.
want. All right?
Drake just
we're
made
part
an
of the
album
show.
Called For
the
Dogs. Like,
for
come
all
on.
The dogs.
Like, we can find other
plenty
dog
of options. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. 15 more minutes with you. Thank you. It's been a wonderful, wonderful show on a Friday Fun Day, Veterans Day. Thank you again to the veterans. Thank you for your service. Shout out again to my mother and father. Dad was in the Navy. Mom was in the Air Force. So shout out to you. Shout out to all the veterans out there. And hopefully everybody's enjoying their weekend, especially if it's a payday weekend. Mm-hmm. Got to get down if it's a payday weekend. Yeah. Look, and I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to be an accountant here or control anybody's wallet. But, you know, just be careful. You know, my mom used to always tell me, pretend like you didn't get paid.
Yeah.
That's how you should spend. So don't go out. You got paid today, right? Having a good time.
Go hit up the mall or something.
Right, right.
You know,
the fresh
weather's
J's.
Getting cold. Time to go, you know,
stay away
buy
from
all
the sneaker
nice
app.
Jackets.
Stay away from the sneaker app. Don't do that.
Get your trench coats ready.
But if you do, just make sure, you know, you have allotted your a specific amount of money that you are going to spend. Don't go crazy.
Tell them, Marshawn.
Right. Don't go crazy. Invest in your chickens. Protect your chickens. Protect your mentals. And going back, as Simone is now behind the glass with us, going back to those first date places where you are or aren't allowed.
That list is starting to look a lot better.
That list might have to be the one.
On non-paydays.
That list might have to be the one. Cheesecake Factory.
You know.
No problems here.
On.
Okay. What else was on there?
Applebee's. I mean, your general
Applebee's.
Run-of-the-mill. Like
what
you
should
Buffalo
do.
Wild Wings
exactly.
or whatever.
Red Lobster.
Red Lobster. Get some biscuits.
I still
biscuits.
Feel like that's not okay to have on
right,
that
get
list.
Some biscuits in
that's
your
crazy.
Chili's. The Southwestern egg rolls. You know how I feel about those.
Love Chili's, dude.
Gotta
love
get
Chili's.
Down with some Chili's, right? This is what you should do. Payday, you don't go crazy. You just say, look, hey, we can go to Chipotle today. Guac, extra meat, and I won't even bat an eye.
Ooh,
I won't even bat an eye. Wow. That is how you make sure, right? Hey, that is investing for your future.
Queen, right.
That is investing for your future. Don't do too much. Don't do too much. All right. It is time for our dog segment. And Nate, you can play something. Just don't play. We don't get the dog song unless they win, but play something while we're going through our dog.
Okay, does it have to be like NBA related? Could it just be music?
Just whatever you're feeling.
Whatever you're feeling.
Whatever you're feeling.
I think it's going to come a second.
Yeah. As we get to it, let's see. Reading some. Thank you, Rockin' New Era 84. Styles, happy Friday. Watkins, happy Friday. Rockin' New Era is going to the thank you taco truck. In for the taco truck for sure. 916-339-1140. Get your calls and get your texts in as we talk dogs for all the dogs. Let's see. 916, go to Red Robin. That wasn't on the list. Shout out Chris.
It wasn't. Yeah.
Very smart. Red Robin.
The dirty bird.
Yeah, there you go.
Fries. Bottomless fries, right? Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. Me and Nate are on the same
side. I used to work there.
Really? There you go. Yeah. Shout out Red Robin. Red Robin. Yeah, are we allowed to do that? I don't even know. 707. We need Barnes to be a dog, all caps DOG,
man.
Like he was in Utah.
Okay.
He'll be the dog of the game. Thank you, 707. 707 also goes on to say, my boss says Monk is his dog. So thank you, 707.
Love
listening
that.
With your boss. That sounds like a great job.
Sounds like a great
hopefully
work
it's a
environment.
Payday Friday.
Man.
That's great stuff out of you, 707. All right. I always go to Nate first, so this time I'm going to go to Chris first. Who will be your dog of the game? Or a bold prediction, either way.
Shea Gilgeous. No, I'm kidding.
Come on.
That'd be so bad. That would be so bad.
Turn his mic off. Turn his mic off.
That would be so bad.
Turn his mic off.
There you go. Thank you, Nate. That's I'm going to go. You know what? I know that was not cool. I'm gonna go with Domantas Sabonis. How about that? Like, can we just pick the biggest dog out there? Like, this should be an opportunity for the big dogs to eat. Again, I listed off those Will Z stats. OKC does not have size, and the Kings have to take advantage of that in every way possible, whether it be getting more, you know, baskets at the rim. I thought they did a good job of heading downhill off of Sabonis screens. In that Blazer game. So can you get to the rim? Can you exploit the rebounding advantage that you should have? Will we see JaVale and Alex Len out there in the non-Sabonis minutes?
You want to see that?
I'd be interested in seeing what it looks like. I can't remember who OKC has. Because last year they were running J Will at center, and that Jalen Williams is, I think, 6'8". Mm-hmm. So if they're still running really small guys besides Chet, I think that's like the biggest advantage you have. And again, the Kings don't really have a style right now. They're not playing at breakneck pace like they were with De'Aaron Fox. So if you're already slowing it down, I don't think having or playing big man or an excess big man, is that detrimental to what you're going to be doing? So I think it would be an interesting counter, and if the Kings can get a big offensive rebounding advantage, I'm telling you, trust, let me speak from experience. When you're getting killed on the offensive glass, it hurts.
Yeah,
it's like one of those momentum shifting things where it just, it feels like you're getting beat worse or whatever. It feels closer than what it actually is. So can the Kings establish some sort of physical dominance over this team? I think is going to be big for the win tonight. And that all starts with number 10, the all-star, the all-NBA guy, the guy who's supposed to step up when the star isn't there, Domantas Sabonis. Please be the dog of today.
Wow. Nicely done. Joe Giroux on the YouTube chat. Mike Brown. This feels like a coach ejection game.
Yeah, I love that prediction.
Fire up the squad.
That's my favorite prediction.
Chat of the day. Joe Giroux. Yeah. Thank you.
Come on.
For being a part
of the Kings go down double digits. Show. Mike Brown.
Here
slam
we go.
Something.
Here we go on the YouTube chat. 916 McGee.
Alley-oops.
Blocks. Let's get it.
Okay.
LTB. So, JaVale McGee from the 916, that's their dog. JaVale, look, JaVale's been around for a while, but you got no playing time.
Yep.
Maybe you feel some type of way. Maybe you feel like this is an opportunity for me. That athleticism, that might be a bigger deal in a game like this.
The Nate? JaVale hits home for me because I don't know if you guys remember my prediction.
I was watching the game.
Yeah, straight up. I think JaVale would have 12 and 10, so a double-double. And I said he would get three rebounds on one possession.
A bold
prediction would have been him playing at all.
Yeah.
The guy didn't see the court.
He did not get on
the
court.
The guy didn't see the court. I couldn't believe it. I'm almost glad I didn't come in the next day because I was like, that was one of the most embarrassing predictions I've ever made.
It wasn't your fault. No one saw
I guess.
That.
Yeah.
I guess I found out this morning, too, that he was about to check in. And they pulled him back and threw Lennon. That's what I heard Dave or Jason say that.
Is that starting to bother? That. I don't know. I don't know if I love that from Mike Brown. What's going on there?
I don't know.
No clue.
Like
that's
I said,
weird.
It really is kind of high school. I'm not saying in a negative way, but he's really just whatever I'm feeling at the time
vibes.
Is what I'm going with. So who is your dog?
So my dog is going to be Malik Monk. He's a dog every night.
Okay.
He's been the best player on the Kings this season.
I see you playing it safe after Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's
smart.
That's a smart move.
That's smart.
I thought JaVale would get on the court. But my dog is Malik Monk.
I think
he keeps it up. He's playing at such high energy and so intensely. Maybe his shots aren't always hitting, but he those free throws at the end of the game.
Clutch.
He called his shot. Malik's my guy right now. He's been my favorite King, I think, for the past year and a half now. Year and whatever.
There you go.
That's my guy.
That's your guy. 916 says, happy Friday. Thank you, 916. Happy Friday to you. Hope you enjoy your weekend. And a beam. And a Friday beam. Let's go. I know it's my turn. Went Davion last time.
Yeah. Ended up being pretty good.
At least he played.
Should I go out on a limb here?
Yes.
You know what?
Uh-oh. Do it.
This is it. It's not even that much. It shouldn't be that much of a limb.
Yeah.
This is it. Just like I laid out earlier, your brother was in town.
Yep.
Your parents were in town. Keegan doesn't love the spotlight. There was a lot of spotlight on the brothers, the jersey swap. Now he just gets to chill. It's just a normal game. He's feeling a little bit less pressure. This is the game Keegan Murray shows up. We're going to be in the building. You know how many Keegan Murray, you know how many I'm counting? Over, under? I'm taking 5.5, and I'm smashing the over.
Yeah, way over on that. They
seven
do it for every
half.
Basket. Yeah, I'm taking the over on that.
8.5.
I'm starting to.
Yeah, 12.
We're
9 12. And a half. We're getting close.
I'm slowing down.
Okay, LeBron, not one.
not two.
Not two.
Not three.
Well,
all right,
two.
Keegan Murray. That's my dog. We got one more minute here, Simone. Who's your dog?
Man, you guys already took my Rottweilers. I am going to go with JaVale McGee. That was going to be my
selection. Okay, no, that was on the text line.
Yeah.
That was on the text line, so you're all good. You're all good. All right. Good stuff, and hopefully it is good stuff tonight. Like we said, we will be in the building. Chris Watkins, Allen Styles, we will be in the building. So please, if you see us in the streets, say hello. and take pictures. We love the fans. I would say Trick Love the Kids, but you know. Well, no, that was a great song. You remember that song. Flashback Friday. There you go. Thank you to Nate Littlefield. Thank you to Larry Kruger, who joined us. Chris Watkins, Alan Stiles. We will talk to you soon. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.